Sunday Tama Talk.
Good morning, listeners. We're back for another Sunday morning Tama Talk. I'm Prakrubarika Dr. Bartanyana Thiro, and I'm about to interview Dr. Pratrajan Wisit, the abbot of Wat Lung Phosot Thammakayaram in Dumnan Sarawak District of Ratberi Province, Thailand. Dr. Pratrajan Wisit is a widely respected meditation master and Buddhist scholar, dedicated to revitalizing Buddhism with equal emphasis on meditation practice and scripture study. He's led Wat Lung Phosot to become a center of excellence in both Vipassana and Tama studies, training over 20,000 participants annually. This is our ninth Sunday Tama Talk. For several broadcasts now, we have been addressing the three higher trainings, Sila, or moral behavior, Samatha, or concentration, and Vanya, or gaining wisdom through Vipassana insight meditation. These three trainings summarize the Noble Eightfold Path. Last month, we completed dealing with Sila and Samatha by focusing on Samatha meditation practice. This Sunday, we begin discussion of the third training on Vanya, or wisdom development. Welcome, Venerable Dr. Pratrajan Wisit. Could you please begin by summarizing our previous session for our listeners to show how Samatha practice leads on to Vipassana and the development of wisdom?
Good morning, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Samatha meditation covers three of the eight factors of the Noble Eightfold Path: right effort, Samma Vayama, right mindfulness, Samasthi, and right concentration, Samma Samadhi. The main benefit of Samatha meditation is developing the five jhana virtues to cleanse the mind of the five hindrances, apply thought, vitok, purify drowsiness, sustained thought, vichan, purifies doubt, joy, piti, purifies ill will, happiness, sukha, purifies restless mind, and one-pointed concentration, ekakata, purifies sensual desire. The jhanas develop a stable, concentrated mind, purified from the five hindrances, and effective and efficient tools for direct comprehension, anupassana, of the four foundations of mindfulness, body in the body, feelings in the feelings, mind in the mind, and Dhamma in the Dhamma, learning through direct experience to compare the characteristics of compound phenomena such as the five aggregates with the non-compound phenomenon of Nirvana in Samatha Vipassana meditation. This is carried out by actually seeing, knowing, and becoming successively more and more refined, purer and purer inner bodies, taking on their corresponding feelings, mental states, and perception of Dhamma.
What is meditation? What is Vipassana meditation? What are its objectives, and what is the general approach?
The higher training in wisdom, Atipanya, aims at developing the insight to see clearly and compare objectively the true nature of conditioned phenomena, such as the five aggregates, with the ultimate reality of the unconditioned phenomenon of Nirvana or Nibbana or Nirodha Dhatu. This is Vipassana meditation. It can be best achieved when the mind has clearly been trained to become pure and firmly concentrated through Samatha meditation. There are two levels of insight or Vipassana meditation. The first level is called Anupassana. It is clear comprehension of the three universal characteristics of all compound phenomena, that they are impermanent, suffering, and non-self, that is empty and meaningless. These characteristics must be understood in comparison with the opposite characteristics of non-compound phenomena, which are eternal, supreme happiness, and ultimate reality. This is the first level of Vipassana meditation. This is what we will study today. The second level of insight, or Vipassana meditation, is detailed contemplation of the Four Noble Truths in three transcendent mental states, jhana, satyayana, gicchayana, and katayana. In satyayana, the meditator becomes able to see clearly and really know objectively suffering, the arising of suffering, the cessation of suffering, and the path leading to cessation of suffering. In gicchayana, he comes to know clearly what he is supposed to do with respect to each of the Four Noble Truths. First, suffering, dukkha, should be gotten rid of. Second, the cause of suffering, samudaya, should be abandoned or relinquished. Third, the cessation of suffering, nirodha, should be clearly realized or penetrated. Fourth, the path, magga, should be entered upon, practiced, and developed. Finally, in katayana, the meditator sees clearly the progress that he has already achieved. This is kotrapujana. From there, if the meditator can cut at least the first three fetters, which are false self, concept, doubts, and reliance on ineffective rituals, he can immediately experience the non-compound nature of nirvana. We will deal with this aspect of vipassana in the next broadcast.
Now, please explain anupassana, clear comprehension of the origin and true nature of compound phenomena.
Compound phenomena are made up of visible, physical components and invisible factors which influence birth and development. Everything in this world is compound. There are two main types of compound phenomena, living and non-living. We shall focus on living phenomena, which encompass all the characteristics and factors. Specifically, let us focus on ourselves, understood as the five aggregates of body, perception, memory, thought, and recognition. Like all compound phenomena, we are born, exist for a time, and then die and disintegrate. While in existence, we change constantly, first growing and then degenerating. We exhibit the three universal characteristics of impermanence, anicchang, suffering, dukkhang, and non-self, anatta. These three qualities are, in fact, only three different perspectives on the same trait. Impermanence with attachment. Impermanence is experienced as suffering because we are inevitably separated from what we love and united with what we detest. Similarly, impermanence implies non-self in the sense of being void of real, permanent essence. Our rebirth is fundamentally conditioned by ignorance. We want to be reborn because we love it here. It is nourished by passions, greed or lust, hatred or anger, and delusion or misconception. This passion stimulates wholesome or unwholesome behaviors, which produce either beneficial or harmful karmic consequences through actions, words, and motives. Good actions, such as making merits, may result in fortunate birth, but as long as ignorance remains, rebirth will continue. Three main factors govern our rebirth. They are karma, consciousness, and craving. Good or bad resultant karma, vipaka karma, based on past actions, cause us to be reborn into the happy or suffering worlds. The happy worlds are the human, celestial, Brahman, and formless Brahman worlds. They all provide substantial opportunities for further progress. The suffering worlds are the worlds of animals, demons, hungry ghosts, and hell beings. In these worlds, one is essentially cut off from opportunities for advancement, only paying off debts. Our consciousness or recognition factor, vinyan, determines what we can see and comprehend. It acts like a seed that flourishes throughout our growth and development. Our craving, whether wholesome or unwholesome, is the life force that propels germination and growth. This presentation has been a brief summary of conditioned genesis, Paticca-samuppada, which we will study in detail later on. When a human being dies, it is coarse human body that we see cease to function. The four mental aggregates and the refined human body, which are all transparent, along with the karmic accumulation from the last lifetime, constitute the microscopic nucleus for a new psychophysical organism. They all depart together from the crude body as it passes away. It is virtues such as generosity, dana, and morality, sila, fall into human range. The nucleus prepares for a human rebirth. It enters the body of the potential father, following the seven-step path that we learn in meditation, and comes to rest at the center of the body. Here, the nucleus can wait up to 7 days. It merits influence the father to have sexual desire for the mother. When the mental aggregates of the father, mother, and baby come together, a human force similar to gravity pulls the baby from the father into the mother as the sperm joins the egg. This is why our mental spheres are at the center of the body. This is original microscopic origin of the embryo. The four material essences, water, earth, fire, and wind, developed into the crude meat and bones of the baby's body, while the four mental elements remain perfectly still and pure, never opening the gate for passion. This is the initial development of the baby's body and mind. After birth, the remaining karma will function at its appropriate time. While growing up, the human mind always wanders outside and attaches to worldly objects, which may be good or bad, causing either wholesome or unwholesome effects. The mind may be stirred up or calm, stupid or wise, depraved or virtuous, leading to suffering or happiness. The physical elements, earth, fire, water, and wind, will be active in the young, causing growth, but less powerful in the elderly, causing the body to degenerate. The hair falls out, the teeth become loose, the skin becomes wrinkled, etc. Thus, we see that the body is impermanent, suffering, and unsatisfactory. In the end, it disintegrates and becomes non-self. In conclusion, we see that the body is void of any permanent, happy self-essence.
Thank you very much, sir. Now, can you please explain how to conduct insight meditation to compare compound and non-compound phenomena?
We begin with the foundation of mindfulness meditation to experience and to contemplate the bodies in the body, feelings in the feelings, mind in the mind, and dhamma in the dhamma. The meditator develops jhana to purify the mind from hindrances. Once the mind is pure and firmly concentrated, the meditator begins by contemplating the coarse physical human body, observing the five root mula meditation objects. These are the hair on the head, body hair, finger and toe nails, teeth and skin. Let's take the hair on the head as an example. The meditator takes a single hair from the top of the head and examines it as though under a microscope at the center of the body. He sees the hair as it really is, impure and subject to change, in accordance with the factors influencing it, such as food and environment. With age, it naturally becomes less healthy and may turn gray or white. He notes that hair is impermanent. It may fall out and will ultimately disintegrate, becoming no longer hair. It is thus impermanent, anicca, and unsatisfactory to Kang, and it is void of permanent reality or ultimate significance. It is thus non-self or anatta, not the eternal self of anyone. The same thing can be said for the hair on the body. Similarly, the teeth are impure, bathed in bacteria, smelling, subject to cavities, and apt to break and fall out. So, too, our nails need constant care, cleaning and clipping. The skin is always covered with sweat, needing to be bathed and have its stink covered over with perfumes. All of these body parts are impure, subject to change, unsatisfactory, and potential sources of sufferings. They are impermanent without ultimate reality or meaning. This is the true nature of the whole body. From our birth, as a baby, we developed until the prime of life and then degenerate. Growing old, suffering, become sick and dying. After examining the physical body, the meditator continues with the four mental aggregates: sensation, memory, thought, and consciousness. Ultimately, this leads to clear comprehension that this whole psychophysical organism is non-self or anatta. Anupassana thus leads to comprehending the ultimate reality of the five aggregates as suffering and elucidates the cause of suffering as craving and attachment. When the meditator can let go, he can experience extinction of suffering, which is Kotrapu Jhana. If he meditates further, he may experience Nirvana, which is non-compound and has the characteristics of eternal permanence, supreme peaceful happiness, and ultimate reality. He will then be able to compare the characteristics of compound and non-compound phenomena and realize the superiority and accessibility of the latter. This is right wisdom, panya, which can eventually lead to enlightenment in the Four Noble Truths.
And now, can you please lead us in a brief vipassana meditation using the anupassana approach of examining the three characteristics?
All right, we sit upright in a regular meditation posture, cross-legged, as seen in some Buddha images. with the right leg resting upon the left. The right hand rests on the left, palms turned upwards, with the right index finger just touching the left thumb. The body is straight, and the mind is fully alert. Take a deep breath and relax the body until you feel comfortable. Close your eyelids lightly, do not press them. We use two aids. First, a mantra. Repeat that over and over again. Our mantra is Samma Arahang. Second, an object of visualization, a bright, clear, luminous sphere called Aloka Kasinya, or light object. Using these aids, we draw the mind inward to the center of the body, and the mind components of vision, memory, thought, and awareness come together into oneness. Imagine a bright, clear, luminous sphere located at the sixth base of the mind, the center of your body, directly behind the navel or belly button. Focus your full attention at the center of the sphere so that the four components of the mind, seeing, remembering, thinking, and recognizing, come together at one point. Inside the sphere, this is the way we calm and concentrate our mind. The mind itself is invisible, but we can use visible objects to train it. You may imagine a bright, thin, clear line from the navel straight back to the backbone, and another line crosswise from the left to the right. These lines meet the center of the body. You can also visualize a third line right down the center of the body, through the throat, crossing the first two. This defines the center of the body. While your mind is concentrated at the center of the sphere, recite the mantra over and over to yourself. Samma Arahang, Samma Arahang, Samma Arahang. This is Buddha Nusati, or recollection of Buddha's virtues. Samma is the Pali word for right, meaning ultimately correct or true. It is an abbreviation of Samma Sambuddho, meaning Lord Buddha's enlightened wisdom. This amounts to making the wish, may I gain wisdom. The second word of the mantra is Arahang, meaning purity. This is remembering Lord Buddha's spotless freedom from defilements and amounts to the which may I gain purity. From the navel level, we bring the sphere upwards just 2 inches or 5 centimeters, keeping our mind at the center of the sphere. This is the final 7th base of the mind, referred to as position of the sphere at the center of the body. This is where the breathing ends. If you take a few deep breaths and observe the breath going down inside your body, you will see it ends here. Rest your mind inside sphere at position number 7 and repeat Samma Arahang, Samma Arahang, Samma Arahang continually and mindfully. This is the mind's permanent resting place. Whenever a person or any other creature is born, dies, sleeps, awakens, the Dhamma sphere arises at the center of the body, or Rupa Khanda. Inside the Dhamma sphere are 5 little spheres of the original elements. At the front, the water element. To the right, the earth element. At the back, the fire element. And on the left, the wind element. At the center of the space element. And inside the space element are the 4 mind aggregates located concentrically inside each other, namely the sphere of perception, memory, thought, and recognition. Thus, the 4 mind aggregates are located at the center of the body aggregate. Keep the bright sphere resting at the center of the body. Mentally recite the word Samma Arahant continuously to keep the sphere still and make it become brighter and clearer. Focus your mind at the bright center of the sphere and at the bright center of each successive sphere that emerges. Pay no attention to any external sensation. Do not force the mind too strongly. Do not use the physical eyes to focus on the vision. Always focus on the center of each new sphere which emerges. Rest the mind there. Eventually, a bright, clear sphere will arise. This is the Dhamma sphere. Do not be overjoyed. Keep your mind calm and equanimity. Hold the mind still and stop repeating Samma Arahant. Just concentrate at the center of Dhamma sphere. This is your own nucleus, which gives rise to this body and this mind. You may feel that your mind is in a very pure state. It is ever achieved with firm oneness. You should experience the greatest happiness that you have ever known. Not happiness based on an external object, but happiness arising from within. This is due to being fully pure from the five hindrances. Now, take one hair from the top of your head and visualize it as under a microscope and at the center of your sphere, at the center of the body. Take a good look. See it as it really is. Look how dirty it is. Look at natural processes of degeneration constantly at work to make it look and smell bad. We think we are stuck with this body. In meditation, however, we can enjoy our celestial angel body radiant with cheerful brightness, gentle loving-kindness, and warm compassion. Ultimately, we can meditate to experience the non-compound nature of Nibbana or Nirvana, eternal, peaceful happiness, and essential, meaningful reality. That is where we belong. That is our refuge. And now, let us share all of the merits that we have made in the meditation and previously, together with all of our loving kindness, with all beings everywhere throughout the universe. We share with our parents, our grandparents, our family, our teachers, and our friends. We share with our king and our queen and the whole royal family, especially with the king's elder sister, who has recently passed on. May Lord Buddha bless us all to lead a peaceful, happy life, free from suffering, free from problems, and free from enmity. And may this meditation help to bring us closer to transcendence and nirvana. And now we come slowly out of meditation and open the eyes.
Thank you very much, Dr. Prutraj Janwisit. We all deeply appreciate your very kind and generous instruction.
May Lord Buddha bless you all.
We would like to invite interested listeners to join us for meditation at Wat Lung Pasod any Sunday. Our bus leaves from just outside the entrance of Wat Sik Gate, the Golden Mountain Temple, at 7 o'clock every morning, every Sunday morning. It returns to Wat Sik Gate around 4 p.m. or 1600 hours. Dr. Prutraj Janwisit leads morning chanting and meditation in Thai beginning at 9:30, and I conduct a simultaneous session in English for speakers of English. You're all very welcome. Please see our website at en.tamakaya.org for more details. That's en.tamakaya.org. kaya.org. Thank you very much.
Sunday Tama Talk.